welcome to the Wine Vault. On tonight's episode, Rob, Scott, and Becky all review Hitching Post's Gen Red. So sit back, relax, and enjoy tonight's Wine Vault. Welcome, everybody, to the Wine Vault. It is I, Rob the Wine Guy. And tonight, tonight, I am joined by Scott, the Unlicensed Taxi Driver.
We're hitching up to our post tonight and bringing it to you, folks.
I wish that I had Scott's buzzer.
For that?
And not, I was going to say not even a word, just a...
Womp, womp, womp. We are also joined by the Triple B.
Yeah, thank you. You just buzz yourself.
Yeah, buzz yourself, asshole.
What for?
Sucking. So the Triple B is also on tonight. And tonight is a special night because we have a wine from Hitching Post. Again, in case you couldn't make those references from the bizarre thing that Scott said, which could have meant anything. But not Pinot tonight. Pinot, you know, it's so last week. And their Pinots are too delicious. And it's not their Syrah either, because that's probably because Becky didn't like Syrah. But nevertheless, this is their next gen red. Next gen. I'm sorry. No, it's just gen red. Okay. Well, I threw the next on there. Gen red.
We'll just buzz you for that.
Sure. Yeah. Thank you for any mistake. Gen red is a blend, an unusual blend of 31% Merlot, 31% Val de Guy. 22% Cabernet and 16% Sangiovese. And for those out there that don't know what Val de Guy is, it is what California used to call Gamay. They thought the California Gamay was Val de Guy. They thought it was Gamay.
What are you saying?
Originally in California, they would sell Gamay. And they called it like California Beaujolais and that kind of shit. And they thought what they were planting and what they were growing was, in fact, Gamay, just like in Beaujolais. They did genetic testing to find out, no, dummies. What you have in California is not Gamay. It's Val de Guy. And so it was a scandal of that nobody cared
epic
about.
Epic proportions.
Buzz it. Was buzz it, the scandal.
Was and was this?
So how long did that go on for?
While.
Was this around the same time that they sorted that Zinfandel and Primitivo are the same thing?
Not really. The only person that ever really did Gamay was Jay Lohr. Buzz him. So, you know, everything else is just so small production, nobody knows about it. By the way, if you ever see Jay Lohr Gamay, you get a buzzer. So this is an unusual grape of contrasting grape styles. So wine of contrast. So you have the astringency of Merlot. You have the fruity, lighthearted, low alcohol giddiness of Val de Guy. You have the size and the richness of Cabernet. And then you have the spiciness and the zestiness of Sangiovese. What does that end up making? I don't fucking know. If you go on the website, you'll see sometimes the Gen Red is with Tempranillo. Sometimes it's with Syrah. Sometimes it's with Petite Syrah. So they're not that particular as to what they throw in there. But normally it's that 16%, that last bit that alternates out. So you're always going to see, and sometimes even the Cabernet, but you're always going to see the Merlot and the Val de Guy. Always there. Central Coast, they pull from different sites around there. You know, find some cabbage patch. Oh, there's some grapes in there. They harvest those. Oh, there's a roadside vendor. They get those there. Oh, there's a dumpster behind the Pick and Save. We'll get some. And so then they make this wine.
Who has...
Although we like Hitching Post. I'm sorry, this is very good.
We love Hitching Post.
We do.
Who has better cabbage patch made wine? North Coast or Lodi?
North Coast or Lodi?
Yeah, the specific region of Lodi.
Well, North Coast is very, very large.
True that.
So, North Coast.
Okay.
So, not Lodi.
What if you wanted Napa cabbage?
Napa cabbage.
I love Napa cabbage.
Well, there are parts of Napa that make some damn nice cabbage. I mean, you know, let's just, and some bad wine.
Napa cabbage is
mostly
a type of cabbage.
It's around, I know, it's most around where Trefethen is, but it's okay. You just bought some Trefethen, so I'm sure that what you bought from Trefethen. Did you know that was Trefethen when you bought it?
Yes, I know.
I'm sure very excited about it. I'm sure
I'm very excited.
It'll be good for you. It's good for you.
I think it's going to be interesting.
We do have Trefethen in the wine vault, but it's their Riesling. So, you know, which will taste like their Cabernet.
I'm excited about
it. I make fun of Trefethen. It's
interesting blend.
Interesting blend. Mm-hmm. It is. It's eclectic. Triple B requested this wine tonight. I don't know that she knew that it had what it had in it, because I don't think you like Merlot particularly. You're not no, you're not on the record of not liking Merlot.
Right.
You like Cabernet. Sangiovese.
Do I like Villiguay? / Gamay.
Villiguay. Wasn't he on that 70 show? that's Val de Guy.
Val de Guy.
Gamay.
Do you like it? I don't know.
Probably not.
I mean, you don't dislike, you like Beaujolais, good Beaujolais, not Beaujolais Nouveau.
I don't remember liking Gamay, though.
When we've had some things from Morgon and some better areas in Beaujolais, you enjoy them because they remind you of a nice Pinot Noir. Mm-hmm. Maybe a little bit fruitier, but you enjoy them. But that's not Central Coast, is it? So, be careful what you wish for. That is the mantra tonight that Becky will be following. So,
to be fair, I didn't request this.
To be fair.
And I said this or Dry Creek Cab.
Or Grenache. We have lots of Grenache.
Nope.
Scott just brought in another shipment of a dozen wines. So we have like 10,000 wines. I have to actually go through and make a list. I have to inventory the wine bowl.
Making a list.
It's ridiculous. It's just crazy. Twice. You know, I think we have about 75 wines.
In the queue?
Probably. Yeah. 60 to 75, I would say. That's a lot of drinking. That is like three shows worth when the Triple B's on. I mean, good God. She actually has a spare bottle, but beneath it, and she doesn't actually pour it in a glass. She just drinks it straight out of the bottle. What is it tonight, Becky? Oh, my gosh. She actually has Hitching Post, you know, but their cork dancer, Pinot Noir, she's drinking it straight out of the bottle.
Oh.
Just like a Patrick Swayze would do. She's not flying a plane, though. Okay. So, folks, we're going to take a break, but then we'll be right back here on the Wine Vault. Hey everybody, it's Rob the Wine Guy. Do you love the Wine Vault? Do you want the world to know about the Wine Vault? Well, do you know the best way to do that? By giving us a review wherever you get your podcasts. Whether that be on iTunes or Stitcher or TuneIn or Spreaker or Podbean or some other app I've never heard of but probably gave your phone a virus when you downloaded it. So take that time. Give us that review. Give us your thoughts and feedback. That way, everyone will know to listen to, enjoy, and join us on the Wine Vault. And we'll be right back. And we're back, folks. So the Hitching Post Gen Red. Now, this is around 20 of your American dollars. It's hard to find. Scott, you found this in Cincinnati area.
Yes.
In a shop.
Village Wine Shops.
Village Wine Shop.
Shout out to my man, Tim. The owner, Kate, and Patty, who works at the wine tasting room, which is known as Piccolo's.
Is it wine shop or wine shoppy?
Shoppy.
Oh.
Chopette.
Oh.
It's a chopette. Oh. No, it's a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful location.
That's good.
It's a wine shop that if we lived in the Natty, we'd be there all the time.
That's cool. We have a friend having a baby in Cincinnati this coming week, and probably we're going to go see her the following weekend.
Yep. Village Wines of Glendale.
Okay. Although, from what I hear, you already bought everything they have.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Well, Grenache. They have no more Grenache.
So it's just always interesting to go in a wine shop that's not in your area just to see what they have that's different. And you know, at the wine bar at Cam Blau, by the glass pour.
That's cool.
That impressed me.
I have such a sentimental attachment to Cam Blau. Mm-hmm. Do you remember when we had it together?
Cam Blau and Blah Blah.
I offered it for the show tonight. You said no.
Do you remember when we had it all together?
Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
/ your birthday.
Yeah.
At the Crest.
Crest.
It's called?
Yep.
It was one on Parsons.
Yep.
Yeah.
Do they still have that one?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think they're going strong.
Mm-hmm. That's cool.
Well,
I was just going to say, I love that bottle. It's one of the prettiest
bottles.
It is
a pretty bottle. Yes, like a kaleidoscope.
And consistently good.
Yeah.
Yep.
Consistently good. And how do we not mention every time we mention Spanish wines. It's just
shame for a while. It was hard to find, right?
Well, in Ohio, briefly, until they realized at wine.com that they were dumb. I said originally that it's Monastrell. It's not. It's a blend of like three or four different things. Yes. So yeah.
So he had to wait. We couldn't talk about it for a while till everyone forgot his error, and now we can talk about it again.
Only if he brings it up.
Now I don't feel so bad about the review. There is a review, but it's not for the current vintage. It's for the 2015.
For Cam Blau not being Monastrell.
That's true. Well,
varietal, hey. What is it a blend of?
I don't know. Oh, Syrah's there, and there's a couple things.
I think Mourvèdre.
I don't know if there is. Because you guess what Monastrell is? Mourvèdre.
There you go.
The same thing. So this, but the 15 was reviewed. Okay. So
there's Pitching Post. Are we back to that?
Yes, the Gen Red. That's right. This is Wilford. Yeah, you knew who this was.
You didn't tell me this is what we were drinking. Did we do Scores of Integrity?
No, but we haven't drank it yet. Did you see that nude picture I sent of myself earlier? It was fantastic. Anyway, I the 2015, I was 96 then. I gave it a very strong score, 89 of my points. It's not a lot, is it? And I said an excellent wine for everyday dining table. Whatever that means. The Hitching Post Gen Red, a blend of mostly Merlot, some Val d'Aiguille, Tempranillo this year, and just a bit of Syrah and Barbera. They're just fine in everything. Shows a pleasant mix of berries and briar in the flavors. The wine's palate firmness pairs it well with savory beef stew with mango chutney. Yeah, I just threw that on the end. I like to put mango chutney on beef stew. Have you ever had that, Scott?
No.
You should try it. It's sweet and savory. It sometimes makes people nauseous watching me eat it, but because I just put a little bit, it's a jar of mango chutney.
Nauseous with this.
What?
Commentary.
I'm melodic. What are you talking about? Nauseous. That's a mean stare. I'm scared.
Well, what are you going to do?
I know. She might give me plutonium poisoning, so I better shut up. Anyway. Possible.
No Monastrell, no Mourvèdre.
No.
Carignan.
Oh,
Syrah,
yes.
Grenache.
There we go.
Oh,
more Grenache.
Whoa. It's like a theme Less of Grenache. The show.
Mm-hmm. Not completely even, but it's kind of like a levels of the different grape varietals. It's mostly
40, 40, 20.
Yeah, okay. That's what I thought.
Carignan, Syrah, and Grenache.
Mm-hmm. So. We are going. I'm going to write down my scores of integrity. I've written mine down.
Before we go any further,
yes,
we do need to update our listeners on our poor Bo. What we did to him today? Did Rob tell you what we did to Bo today?
Oh, Bo, he got relocated. He got evicted from the kitchen. His pin used to be in the kitchen, so he could see everything and get upset when someone walked through at a high pace or someone made a louder than average noise or a cat walked through.
Kids he didn't like Edison, not Edison, Deacon. He'd growl at Deacon when he would walk through.
So Bo got moved to the laundry room. That's right. And Sally will walk by and say, "Hey, Bo, I'd like my whites very white and starched."
We knew.
Get a move on it.
We told him that you were going to have an appropriate amount of sympathy for him.
He's sitting there and he's pissed off. And so he hears the washer go off and you just see him side eye and look over at it. He's like, "What is this noise?" But the sweeper can't get him.
Yeah.
That's good.
You know. Who knows? We'll find out.
We only moved him to where he is when I broke my leg because I could wheel over and let him out. So that's why it is where it is or where it was. We always had Rex's pin in the laundry room because he was quieter. That was his space.
Rex was a special case though too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was a different.
Well, Bo's a special case as well, but it's different.
But yeah, he was really sad when we put him up. He was outside. Rob was spraying off his mat and all this stuff. And he was jumping around. He had no idea.
No.
And then we went to soccer and put him in there. And he was
he was through a bit of a fit. He's like, "I'm not going in that damn room." And I had a fistful of his hair. And so I threw him in there. He's like, "What is this sheet?" Yeah. Pissed me off.
I heard him cry a little bit. It was kind of sad.
I'm over it. So in the glass, this is very dark.
It is. It's black.
Black.
Oh, it has a nice nose.
It does. I mean, it's a bright fruit nose. I mean, it's...
Yeah, and there's a...
Go ahead, what were you saying?
Well, I was going to say smokiness on the end.
There's stuff going on behind that fruit.
Yeah, it is for sure like a black... Did you say bright? I would say black.
Well, I mean, it's very vibrant.
There's like a little bit of smokiness in it.
A little streak of violets. You know, the Pinot, the hometown, had a nice nose.
This is a wonderful nose.
Mm-hmm. Is there something to like a waxiness in it?
Yes, I would agree with that.
It's got a lot going on.
Yeah.
There's an element of earthiness in there, mm-hmm. too. Everything's so subtle. That bright fruit, you get that.
I was going to maybe say like basil too. I'm not for sure.
No, but that, yeah.
Yeah.
The earth. That,
oh, yeah.
That, mm-hmm. what I'm going for with that earthiness, some earthy spice.
Herb component
so, thingy.
BBW has a blackberries and basil line. It is so good. It is not overpowering. This is what it smells like. It is. Mm-hmm. It just smells so good. I like this a lot.
For listeners, BBW is
Bath and Body Works. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But yeah, they're blackberries and basil. I mean, that's what this smells like with mm-hmm. some smoke wax. We're gonna taste it.
It's an exciting nose.
It is.
It really is.
We've often been let down by a good nose.
Well, we haven't been let down by Hitching Post yet.
Is that a kiss of death?
That's what they do. That actually works.
You swished it like mouthwash.
Oh.
I feel like it's going to be up inside your gums now.
Oh, I'm sure I'll look terrible, but it's nice.
It's just really well mm-hmm. done. This isn't going to be one of those
yeah.
blends where you pick out the individual components in it. Mm-hmm. And what I mean is the Merlot does this, the... Yeah. Gamay does this. It's just a wonderful red blend.
What'd you say about the oaking?
I didn't say anything about the oaking. I'm sure there is some oak there.
Probably. Yeah, it is. It's lightly oaked at mm-hmm. the end. I can taste it, but
yeah, there was their website doesn't particularly give any information in that regard. So yeah, there's no information on that. But no, it definitely is on a bit of oak. I would say 6 to 12 months.
And I feel like it's. I mean, I feel like it's American, but it's pretty well done.
Yeah, but it's not. It's not charred. It would be used oak. It's definitely mm-hmm. used oak.
I love the finish on this.
Mm-hmm.
It's got some length. It's got a little bit of. I think it goes on along with that smoky aroma from the nose. I think it's. It doesn't go of. Charred oak, but it's just shy of black pepper. It's maybe Ooh. White pepper.
Yeah, it is. You know what this reminds me of, Scott? This is a homage to Languedoc from California, but really well done while still framing it with the Merlot to have a little bit of chocolate aspects to it. The Cat Brunet still keeps it ripe and round. You're not getting the full blown, you know, minerality meat. The hard edge that you might get in Languedoc, but the way it has the crescendo in the way it glides across the palate reminds me a lot of nicer Languedoc wines.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I thought you were going to say it reminded you that neither of us could recall that Cam Blau's made a Carignan, not.
I haven't drank it since. What year was that when we went out there for your birthday? That was the last time I drank it. What was it? 5 years
ago? We hit it at one of the Christmas parties because I brought it.
I didn't look at the bottle. It has, you know, it has Monstro, but it wasn't primarily Monstro. I think you get too hung up. It's not from Jumilla, though, is it?
No, it's no Monstro. It's.
Well, I know, yeah, but I'm just saying it's not from Jumilla.
Monsant.
Okay, there we go. That's the confusion right there. So.
Well, it's just confusion where we're involved. It's rare for you to get things wrong. Me, all the time.
I'm sorry, I did not memorize the blend of Cam Blau. I shall be beaten with a belt.
You want to go first, Becky?
By me.
I think to me the first, it's not a taste. It is the silky mouthfeel. Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, I was talking about beating Rob.
Oh, yeah, that too. But I was also.
The silky mouthfeel? Absolutely.
That's what the Pinot had. This is a mouthfeel kind of company.
The price point.
Oh, shit. For $20?
Oh, yeah. It's a really good wine. It's also a, I'm also shocked that Rob didn't use this as a guessing wine.
Oh,
to tote, aren't you?
Well.
To totally screw us.
Oh, that would be difficult. No, I wouldn't get it.
Whatever. You did that one to us from.
Vranek.
What was?
From Croatia.
Just, aren't you shocked?
Well, but there was a crazy blend.
No, Macedonia. It was Macedonia.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's not my fault you don't know the Macedonian wine market. That just makes you guys ignorant.
This would be, I mean, of
people from
you
Macedonia would be
it.
Offended right now. They're very proud of their heritage. They're very proud of what they do.
I think that we could get Cali, but I don't know what else we could do with it. I mean, I could have been persuaded for anything on this.
I would probably get confused and say it's Syrah.
A wonderful chocolate in
say,
the mid palate.
That's why I would say
when
it's Syrah.
When you said Syrah, though. It is. It has a lot going on in it. I think it has a really long finish. I don't know that I would say it's totally full-bodied, especially with how I think because it's so dark, I anticipated it to be a lot bigger wine. Not that it's doesn't have a lot going on, but I think that that's also why I would never have thought Syrah.
The body's fine. It's just medium towards full, but it's not quite full.
47% of this wine is a lighter bodied red.
Sure, but I'm not, I'm just saying when you drink something that is black.
Oh sure,
you expect it to be
absolutely.
That was a little bit of a surprise to me, but I am a big fan of the silkiness.
It also has a bit of a pruny raisin esque quality to it on the finish, so. It shows, and that's obviously the Vadogui, and that just that slightly, I wouldn't call it sweet, but fruit sweet, if anything. Yeah. So,
I love the finish, that whatever that thing that's like white pepper, it almost comes across towards like gunpowder.
Maybe cordite.
Well, go in and see.
Tannerite?
Go in and look for that.
I'll look for it. Oh. Yes, let me put on my binoculars.
Right
your palate.
Between the mid palate and the finish, there is like a really nice, and we've talked about this before as a positive, but like a little bit of a cough medicine-y, syrupy before it goes into the finish.
That's what I'm probably referring to as the pruny raisin.
Yep.
Oh, maybe.
I'm fair.
Yeah.
He's pruny. All wrinkled up.
That's too much. There's a little bit of tannins. Mm-hmm. Not a lot. There's a little bit. I don't notice a huge front palate.
No, you have pruny black fruits. It's all the big, to me, the big fruit quotient is prune. Mm. You could say it's a little plummy too because of the fleshiness, but. That main fruit right there that's popping is prune. Now, do I normally associate that with a front palate flavor? No, I don't. But it is in this case.
And it comes back on the finish slightly different. I think it is more towards plum.
Yeah,
because
like
the front.
I think it's the pop is prune. But the fleshiness is plum. The mouthfeel, a plum has a silky loveliness to it. A good plum, not shitty plums. Just like a nice sweet peach does. And this has that kind of silkiness, that very generous mouthfeel.
I don't know. I like it for a little more plum on the front palate. And then that plum combined with the sweeter prune on the finish. Mm. It's a bit of a short front palate.
Agree.
Oh, sure.
Not unusual.
Yeah.
No, it's not unusual.
And it's not like off balance or off kilter because of that.
No.
It's not unusual to be loved by anyone.
It's not unusual. It is unusual.
Do you have Spotify?
I don't use it.
Oh.
I do have it.
Well, they just have this feature, and maybe they've had it for a while, but you can start a playlist and then like put a couple songs on it, and then It's called Smart Shuffle, and then it'll give you more recommendations based off of your music, and you can do plus or minus. I was playing around with it today, and that was one of the songs that recommended me to add on my.
It was Tom Jones singing it in the proper key. It's not unusual. It's not unusual. He kind of sang it kind of high there, didn't he?
Actually, he does that song in a couple different keys.
Well, I'm sorry. I wasn't around to see him.
And there's a big key change in the song.
Well, that's true.
And I think actually multiple key changes in the song.
But he didn't know that, though.
No, he knew it when he was catching women's underwear.
Well, there's that. See, you got these multi-talented. Ha! I prefer his rendition. I prefer his Thunderball. He knows the meaning of success.
That's right. It's just... Da, 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 da. You know, apparently he had sex appeal or whatever they called it back then, but...
Name the Bond movie he was actually in. And you have to say the name by singing it.
Don't know.
I got a license to kill. And you know I'm aiming straight for your heart. It's License to Kill with Timothy Dalton.
That doesn't even count as a James Bond movie.
Well, it doesn't, but it was a James Bond movie. He was playing James Bond in it. So, yes, I agree. Not really. I
mean, I'm assuming Tom Jones got killed in it.
No, he didn't. He was like a cult leader, televangelist kind of guy. He did not. Yes. But he did get all the money stolen from him. He was on a golf cart. Yeah.
Greg messaged me and said, ask Rob if when we went golfing at the beach, if we played a course called Kiowa Ocean.
No.
I went
golfing at the beach with Greg? Yeah, I'd never put... No, I don't think so.
They're opening a golf simulator place in Pickerington next to Title Boxing and... What is that called? AutoZone?
Oh, yeah, really? Cool.
And I was like, Greg, I feel like they're moving in on your business.
Yeah. Sure.
So,
food pairings.
This, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. That's not so easy.
I think you could do...
Hearty beef stew with mango with chutney.
Yeah, no, Wilfred. What? I do think this would be fine with a small steak.
Not a large
small
steak.
Fillet. Oh. A small sirloin.
I could see that.
Not a big, juicy ribeye. Not a big strip.
I think this would be super nice with a snack plate. Like some nuts, crackers.
That.
It'd be really nice with it.
I'd go for that.
On your fillet, it depends on how you're... Why am I doing that with my hands? It depends on
do
how
it
you're...
Do it again. What were you doing?
I don't know. It wasn't Butch, whatever it was.
It was unusual, though.
I don't know what it was.
It is unusual.
I don't know what I was doing.
To talk with his hands.
I wasn't talking with my hands. I was voguing or something. I don't know what that was.
You are not a hand talker.
No.
I'll just sit down below that and I'll do this. What the hell? Oh, how are you going to actually, when you're talking about filet?
Straightforward. Just
half a damn. Really?
Just straightforward.
Like
just
a filet Oscar?
No.
Who the hell orders a filet Oscar? I'm just curious.
What is that? I don't know.
They put crab meat on top of it.
And isn't it crab meat in a cream sauce?
Yeah, something like that.
I would have ordered that at old Jay Gilbert's 10 years ago.
Oh, what about Jay Gilbert's now?
No.
Well, why wouldn't you do that now?
Because I don't feel like it's been that good lately. No. The last time we went, I was not impressed. Remember they gave us that free dessert for the next time we went?
Oh, that's true. And the last time we went was not very good.
Extremely disappointing.
It's disappointing.
I don't remember what they messed up, but they were like, next time you come in, you can get a free dessert. And I was like, what about this time?
It's like, you could have like taken out of the tray of the Hungry Man dinner before you put it on the plate. Well, I'm sorry. I'm going to take it back. And the illusion is important.
Yeah. We don't even discuss it as a place to go eat anymore.
Do you like the brownie? It's like, what? I scraped it out of there. Like, what? Oh. That's corn. What? It's
a
corn.
This is Easy Mac.
Jesus.
With pimento in it.
Yeah, what?
What did they mess up last time? I feel like they forgot my dinner or something.
No, they forgot to actually serve cow. They served horse.
No, I think what happened is
it's a problem.
They brought Rob's food out and they had never put mine in or something.
Oh, they
it
did
was
do
something
that.
Like that.
They did do that. But what I was eating, I wish they wouldn't have put in.
Yeah, and so they were like, oh, do you still want it or something? It's like, yeah, that's why we came here.
It was pretty bad. It just... I don't know.
They didn't give us a free dessert that time. They gave us she gave us her business card, which I don't know why she had one. And she wrote on the back, free dessert, Michelle, or whatever.
She gave us her business card.
It was so weird.
She's a waitress. It's like, what? Why are you giving us your card? Why do you?
And like, when Rob and I go out, which is never when we go out on a date, I think it was a birthday or an anniversary or something.
By the way, folks, this is not like, well, I know there's people out there that are saying, they've had a hard time with staffing after COVID. Oh, no, this was like 5 years ago.
Yeah, yeah. This was
4 or 5 years ago. This is pre-COVID. COVID didn't exist.
Yeah.
So this was back when they, you know, it's just like. And I remember that it looked like it almost had a Chuck E. Cheese kind of feel because some of the dumbasses were coming out of there. It's like they're coming out. Their shirts are half untucked.
Yeah, it was bad. It's a nice. If you don't have Jay Gilbert's, it's a nice. It's nice. A very nice steakhouse. Like.
It was a nice steakhouse.
Yeah. Yeah.
This had a bit of a Golden Corral kind of feel that night. So, whatever. Hey, it's coupon night.
Remind me to tell you something about Golden Corral.
It's close.
I do want to tell you guys. So, where I'm from in Kentucky, I'm from Eastern Kentucky, where, like, every stereotype exists, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, there was a Golden Corral by my mom's house. It went out of business with COVID. And they reopened it. I don't know what they did to the inside, but they reopened it. And when my sister and I drove by for Mother's Day, there was a line of like 60 people outside waiting to get in.
It's a buffet.
Well, I was also like so mad at every man that was there. Like, your plan for your wife, mom, whatever, is to go stand outside of Golden Corral for an hour
but
to get in and eat.
Maybe their wife or mother really wanted to go in there. Because they had the scallop station.
I was so upset. I was so upset when I saw all those people standing outside. I also was like, I don't know. The women should have been able to go in and sit down. Because they were just standing out in the sun in the middle of a parking lot.
Well,
like, how terrible is that?
Terrible.
And they were going out to eat Golden Corral. We were at the Chili Bobo, Ohio. Golden Corral. And this was years ago. And our friends Steven and Rana Joy from Washington D.C. I mean, they've got PhD. Well, Rana Joy has a PhD for Christ's sake. They were at the scallop station eating.
I don't think Rana Joy would eat it.
No, well, no. Yes, Steven was very excited, but Steven's from Vinton County, right?
Uh-huh.
Well, originally, and so he was excited eating from the
and
scallop
Rana Joy
station.
Was like, I can't even look at you.
It's like this is great. It's like, no, that's not. I thought he was vegetarian.
Yeah,
they eat steak here, so I mean
they also have chocolate fondue.
You said it right.
Chocolate fountain.
Yes.
Chocolate fountain. Stick my finger in the fountain and watch it go around. I just made that song.
That's the grossest thing.
Yeah,
having obviously all of us have lived through a COVID pandemic and become so aware of how disgusting people are. I can't believe that any kind of health department ever let.
I know.
Luke would put his hand in the fountain, his dirty little hand. He's like tonight, he's like, my thumb is dirty. My thumb is bleeding. I'm like, no, your thumb is dirty. Go wash yourself, you gross thing.
Aww.
You're just a dirty boy. And but he'd be like, oh, my hand is in the fountain.
Oh, he for
I
sure
have a handful of chocolate.
He and William would have been in that fountain.
Yeah, they would have. And so, and that's what but Stephen was very excited because they make them to order. Scott?
It was like a scallop. It was like an omelet station, but it was like
scallop station.
It's gross.
I would love a scallop steak. You know what I'd put on my scallop, Scott?
What would you put on your scallop, Wilfred?
No. Yes. But I don't. don't steal my thunder, Becky. I had a great, it was a setup for a joke. I was going to say mango chutney, and everybody was going to laugh. Because you wouldn't think I would say that,
no,
dude.
No, we would never think you'd say that, Wilfred.
No, I would. You know what else I'd do? I'd go to Golden Corral and eat completely naked. That's what I would do. Yeah.
No wonder they closed down.
That's true. I stood outside for like 5 hours.
So
I was nude, trying to get in there to eat. They wouldn't let me in.
So I'm thinking,
what?
The Dern boys at the chocolate fountain.
Oh, yeah.
I can see.
No, first it would be William saying, is this gluten-free? And then being like, what is gluten? You know what I mean?
Yeah. But I don't think he would ask if he saw a chocolate fountain. I think he would
be
like, he asked
about everything.
I think his just head would be under the fountain. He'd redirect it with his hand so it was dripping directly on his mouth. And then when
he would do it to himself, or do you think he would use his hands for Luke?
No, for himself. his head would be under like a head under a spigot. And when you said, William, what's going on? He'd look at you like Bo going, what did I do?
You know, one time I was in there and I saw the chocolate fountain. I did not put my hand in the chocolate fountain. However, I put something else in the chocolate fountain. Scott, do you like chocolate?
Wilfred.
What? They had a whipped cream station too. So,
oh, know, Lord.
And nuts. And I made a sprinkle. It was a whole, I had a complete, you know, sundae down there. It was fantastic. So,
folks, we're going to take a break.
Thank God.
I know I had to stop that. But we'll be right back here on the Wine Vault. And we're back, folks. So on tonight's potpourri, we have listener emails.
Oh.
I know. We haven't done this in a while, but we do have them tonight.
Well, you've been accumulating them.
I know. The first one.
How long have you been accumulating these that our questions are going unanswered?
I don't know.
Months?
Well, probably. These are the most recent ones. I ignored the rest of them. I mean, it's not like we get 80. You know, we get 5, 6 here and there. You know. So, Lewis from Seattle. And Lewis writes, what is one unusual varietal that you absolutely love? He wrote other things, but that was that. I got that. The rest of it was just saying how great I was. But go ahead. An unusual varietal that you love. If you'd like me to tell you about some different varietals. I can go.
The Gigondas.
Gigondas is Syrah. That's not a varietal.
I thought it was,
no.
No.
This Ravas.
Sorry. I can go. This is
go. You go then.
That's Syrah, stupid. Well, anyway, predominantly.
It's my least favorite.
Google shit. Okay. Gamay. I would say that's no, you can't agree to me. I'm saying it.
That's what I was going to say.
No, you were saying Gigongas.
Well, something different.
That is. It's some dude with big gonads or something. Gigongas. Anyway, I like Gamay, but from Beaujolais. Some of the better ones. Becky likes that stuff too because I speak for her.
Oh, we love that bottle of bubbly Gamay that I got.
Well, that, but I'm talking about, you know, your standard Robin. Still dry stuff. Lovely. A wonderful, different, I mean, you know. It's a wonderful change, especially when you get into the better stuff. I'm not talking about Beaujolais Nouveau. I'm not even necessarily talking about Beaujolais Village. That next echelon up, the Morgons, you know, Moulin Avent. So I can't pronounce them correctly, but that's okay. That stuff, when you get into those commune level Burgundy, well, it's all Burgundy, but Burgundy Gamay. Wonderful, wonderful wines. Interesting, fun. Becky, do you have anything or would you like to say Gamay? You liked Vranic that one time from Macedonia.
We did like it.
That's true. We haven't had any others.
I can't say I would pick that.
I think this is maybe not unusual enough, but the one that I would say, because in my mind, like, I would say Spain is not, like, the place you think of immediately for wine, if you're an average wine drinker. So I would just say Tempranillo. I think it's not Cab. It's not Zin. It's not...
You determine what unusual is.
Yeah. It's not like the... I would say it's not in the top 5 wines, and I am a big fan of it.
And not unusual for me either, but it's unique to...
What's wrong with you?
I was thinking about Gigongas.
Well...
Such a jerk.
We had it once.
Gigongas.
I like your answer. I like where you're headed with this.
Grüner Veltliner.
Yep.
You know,
I was surprised you didn't say that, Rob.
Grüner Veltliner.
Because he likes it more than I do.
Yep. It's just a fantastic white wine.
Yep.
Mainly produced in Austria.
Yep.
Fan-frickin-tastic.
No, that is a good wine. That's nice. Oh, but from a white standpoint, especially, too. Nice bringing that in. It is. It has a wonderful mouthfeel.
Our neighbor loves it as well.
Our neighbor loves it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I thought you meant, you know. I was like, how would you know that? No, it's have a wonderful mouthfeel.
Yeah.
Similar, Petite Mansing is one that has a... That's unusual, although that's really unusual. You can find Gruner Veltlinger. Mm-hmm. You can't find much Petite Mansing.
One of our neighbors, Scott, just put up a Rick DeSantis 2024 flag.
God bless him.
Yeah. Who? Rick DeSantis?
And your neighbor.
Oh, well, yeah. Anyway.
It's our neighbor that gave us the free basketball goal, too.
Yeah.
Well.
You know, I put a new net on that thing. I invested in it. I put the heavy-duty net, too.
So you're going to return the basketball net?
No, it works. I don't think he wants it back.
I'll take anything that he gives us free.
He brought it down here.
What about a flag?
Mm. He'd burn it.
What if he gave us his Bethlehem cross? To our listeners, he had like a...
He probably burnt that too.
10 foot?
Yeah.
He found another cross use. That he put on top of his house at Christmas.
Yeah, he found another use for that cross. We know that.
Oh, it's that guy.
That neighbor.
Little town of Bethlehem. He doesn't listen to the show, I'm pretty sure.
You know what I don't hear anymore from that neighbor? The dog.
They had a dog?
It was a big dog. It used to bark every night when I left, and it's been a long time since that.
That neighbor, that White House neighbor still has a dog.
Yeah,
it's so it's bull. Not that neighbor. Not
he
that
doesn't neighbor. Have the dog. It's the White House. That dog was in our yard a month ago.
That's right.
When it's a pit bull boxer mix. It's a mean dog. They leave it tied up. It's a really mean dog.
I would like to meet it. I have some friends. Mm-hmm. The names are Smith and
Wesson.
Yeah.
Kapling.
No, it'll be Kaplow.
It's a mean dog. I feel bad because they've not, they keep it.
Don't talk about shooting.
They keep it tied up on a rope.
Yeah, it's
maybe it'll be self-inflicted.
Most dogs aren't mean hearted. Right. They're made to be mean, but you know, I think there are some dogs that.
That dog, let's just say, I'm not going to take the chance.
Yep.
Yeah, you know,
it's a mean dog.
If it has a flag and it's waving a white flag as it's running across the field, I'll give it the benefit of the doubt. Yeah. Otherwise, hey.
One day, Lukey was coming home from preschool, and there was a really nice lady that drove him. She's a grandma, really nice lady, and that dog was in our yard, and she was like in our driveway with Luke, and I was like, Bonnie, get back in your car right now, and me and Luke ran in the garage, but he hadn't made it all the way through the field. But yeah, that's a mean dog. It scared me really bad. And then the owner couldn't get the dog back in her yard. She had a rope that she was trying to pull him across the road in.
So tied it to the back of the Expedition and pulled it with that rope. That'll help. Yeah. They did it on Chevy Chase's summer vacation. Worked for that.
What about our other listener emails?
Oh, yes. Oh, Addison from Chicago.
Who was the last one from? Lewis from where?
Seattle.
Seattle.
Oh. Mm. Sleepless in Seattle.
I think it's a she. I want to start collecting. What are some wines? Five wines you'd start with. Just five. Long Desert. So we're thinking, we'll limit it to value because I would say Pichon Longview would be a wonderful wine.
No.
We're going to limit it to value. We're sub 40. Let's just do sub 40 for
it. I'm not playing the game. I'm just going to throw out numbers. I'm just going to throw out ideas, concepts. I think... You know, if you're going to start a cellar, you can't go wrong with anything from Heights.
But you can get the Napa. It's not that, you know, they're good. It's great wine, but I wouldn't. You know what I would do? What would I do?
I think you need to have a selection from Chateau Neuf du Pape.
Occasionally you can find some stuff that's reasonably priced. What is the, I can't even pronounce this shit. The Olivet.
The
Domaine de Solitude. There's some stuff that's sub 50 that's nice.
And Domaine de Solitude's a little more than that. But
if you were starting a collection, here's what I was thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Would you encourage them to maybe just get... Would you be like, buy one Cali Cab, buy one whatever? Or would you be like, maybe start with some Cali Cabs and here's five to buy? Maybe...
That's fair. Mm-hmm. What Cali Cab? I threw out Heights. What would you... include in there.
I don't know. Heights is a great choice. I feel like I would also say, like, you could buy a bottle of Camus. You can buy that everywhere. If you're just starting, I also thought of Pride.
I
don't know. I don't have anything, like, super clever.
I think you can do worse than, you know, some of the higher-end Mondavis.
Oh, yeah.
You know, for just starting a cellar and you're not spending a hundred and some dollars.
Yeah.
Livingston Cellars.
What's the name of the place that we went that was really beautiful?
There's a lot, but
what town was it in? She's talking about really the infamous baby moon.
What I'm thinking of is it had like lavender bushes. Right. I know that you're not going to get it off of that.
I would. Well, one thing that you could do, and right now I used to mock the price, but I now that everything else is so damn much. Schaefer TD9.
Yep.
They're Bordeaux. Yep. Blend. But also the Ferrari Corona Terrasor right now is $44. That's a great bottle of wine, and it's, you know, it's sub 50. That's a wonderful buy. Sonoma Fruit, but if you want a Napa, you go the other way. The Clos Pegase.
Yeah.
I mean, they're 44 for their cab. There's 23 for their Merlot. Also, it's just sniping things cheaply, like the Hall Concours. Yeah. There are sometimes you can find little things, little gems like that, that Italian Bordeaux. Well, what is it? Cab Petit Verdot. What is it? Tolassi, the Valdesini. Is that what it is? Something like that. That's a nice little bottle, but you don't have any personal connection to it, but that's one. What's the choice? You can always go Numancia Termes.
Those are good bottles.
And you can do a lot of different Spanish things. I mean, there's a lot of stuff from like that. Casa Castillo. You could do some Monastrells. You could, what did we just have that was so lovely? That's actually a good area to go to, Spain. You can get some great Riojas.
And just spend a little more money than the Enterprise stuff. Go in the 30s
and 40s. You can go into Reservas and some, even some, well, not quite Grand Reserva, maybe a few. And you can get, if you like Tempranillo, try some inexpensive Tempranillos, the Protocolos, things like that. See if you like the flavor profile. And if you do, roll in and buy some Grand Reservas and some Reservas. The CVNA, or was it, do we call it CUNE? Is that what we're calling it? CVNE?
Yeah.
Yeah. Their line all the way up through there are great, but then you switch over and you get their Imperial levels. That gets up in the high, sub-100 though. You get some great, 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 great wines through that stuff. Same thing with Toro. Oh, Romanico, their labels through that. I mean, you can go that. Volver, a lot of choices there.
Yeah.
And once again, are you buying things so you can set back and enjoy them in a few years, or are you buying things to impress people? That's the question.
Would you try to kind of buy in one, like buy only genre? Cab, buy only Italian, buy only, or would you kind of mix it up to start?
To start, I would find what you like and buy what you like. Then challenge yourself, move out and find some other things. You would slowly start, because I think I probably started originally buying mostly Cali stuff.
Yeah.
Well, and then I, you know.
So like one of my suggestions was, you know, buy a shot enough to pop. And it doesn't matter whether you're going to go for a high score or spend a little more money on it or get more of a, you know, something in the 30s. But, you know, 10 years down the road, you'd be glad you got it, whatever it is.
Probably.
It's going to be nice.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, yeah, sure, you can go wrong, but you really can't go wrong.
You can also, there's plenty of value in Chianti currently. Grand Selezione and things like that. Those are sub 50 often.
I think
those are great wines.
Yeah. I think there you want to pay attention to the score.
You do.
And who the maker is, because it's easy to get confused with the different quality in a Chianti.
It is if you're getting Chianti or Chianti Classico. But once you go above that, sometimes it's a Reserva. But you're going up in the Selezione area. There isn't even a bad Selezione. There just isn't one. Now, if you're going to go buy Ruffino Gold Ducale, you're wasting your money. But we're talking about beyond that, the Selezione level, everything is board certified. So they're looking at it and saying, you know what? Somebody that knows what they're talking about said, you know, that's good. Is it a 95 good? Maybe not, but it's still good. No. And those all have ageability. So, you know, if you're going into the IGT stuff, that can be a little more of the Wild West. You know that. But then again, how many horrible Italian wines have you ever had?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there have been Italian wines we've had that we've said, well, that's not my favorite. But you've never had an Italian wine you said, that's dog shit.
We had a request from a listener to go down this path and explain the designations in Chianti. So we'll need to do that for a potpourri in a future episode.
When we're drinking Chianti, yes. Yeah, we can definitely do that, though. We have in the past.
And we...
We'll do it in the future.
We'll do it again, and then we'll have an episode where we do it about France. But
yeah,
what? How about another listener episode before we call it quits?
That's right. Jesse from D.C.
Oh, from D.C.
I know. And Jesse writes, I love Pinot Noirs. What are three other varietals that I need to try? Gamay is one from Beaujolais.
Yeah.
That's one. Pinot Noirs, though.
That's a challenging question.
Cinsault.
Yeah,
Cinsault,
so
is one.
We've been drinking, Turley does a Cinsault, and it is super nice.
Yep.
Just easy, approachable, lighter body red.
Mm-hmm.
Freaking fantastic.
Mm-hmm. And you could even look at a Vaudigui or something like
What's the white, too, that you can...
The white?
There's white. What's the white wine you can collect in age? White Bordeaux, but isn't there something else?
Well, white Chateauneuf du Pape.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Like, the white coat. That's a clone of that. So... Yeah, that you definitely, white Bordeaux, well, white Burgundy, Chardonnays. Mm-hmm. Classic white Chardonnay. Burgundies can be extremely ageable, extremely fine, extremely wonderful, and extremely expensive.
Yeah, like, I just was thinking about that. We don't want to leave that out in case they're not a wine drinker.
Very good point. Yeah, you can buy Montrachet, but we've never really even dove into Burgundy at all. We've Bourgogne, just like...
It's just so expensive.
Dipped our... Yeah, it just is. It's too expensive, really, to even do on the show. To even... maybe eventually we'll do some lower-end stuff, but even then, it's like, you're buying the bottom rung, so you're not even experiencing the great stuff. So it's almost like a section where you can just say, we can't do anything with that. You can do that with Bordeaux, because they have the satellite stuff that is delicious. Is it... The highest end, no. But we can even mix in the highest end. We have the highest end, and we can mix that in. Although the highest end we have right now, there's quite a bit of it, but it's not going to be on the show for a very, very long time. Matter of fact, podcasting probably won't exist by the time that we'll be too old. It's got be like 90, but that's okay.
Well,
Scott's joined me in my merriment.
Regularly, Rob will reference your age to the boys, and then they'll either be like, "Dad, you said he was 85," or "Dad, he's not that old."
There's some continuity questions that they have,
He's changed your age.
Yeah, you were 117.
Henry's not following the joke. He's not buying it.
Well, I'm not joking.
And William's more now like, "What's wrong with my dad?"
it happens fast. People recognize quickly.
But we did say Gamay. We said Cinsault. Was there anything else?
We had an
aromatic,
and they're
light.
Not always
what was the question?
On the lighter side, but
three varietals that they should try if they love Pinot Noir.
Didn't we
I missed that question. I was back on what to collect.
You were.
Mom is blowing me up tonight.
Yeah. Didn't we have a nice light-bodied Carmignere from Chile?
Can be.
Oh, yeah.
Can be.
And
we've also had bad Carmignere from...
Let me tell you what Rob did
like
to me this
lower
week.
Alcohol content, too.
Rob tried to pass off. What did you tell me I was drinking the night you had the Sauvignon Blanc? You told me it was the new Love Blanc?
Yes, I did. It was not the new Love Blanc.
It was, I think he just was like, "I got you a Love Blanc." I was in a bad mood. And so he thought that he was going to win me back over by drinking Love Blanc in front of me. But it was actually...
So this was his plan.
Yeah.
How'd that work out?
It was actually a Sauvignon Blanc. I don't know if it was you or I, because I've replaced it with a really good Sauvignon Blanc that was there for a long time and been in the green room.
Chilean.
And it had been collecting dust, and I'd even forgot about it for... It's like a year and a half we've had it.
It was not great.
No, it wasn't very good. It might have been good a year and a half ago.
It had a little bit of the Love Blanc, like fruitiness and like the waxiness of the bean, but then it was metallic at the end.
It was a very dull.
Yeah, it was not great.
I don't think it was ever very good. But that's okay.
Well, now Blancs really aren't supposed to be metallic, are they?
No. Rob was like, "It is. It's a Love Blanc." And I was like...
One of these... I've got two.
You could have maybe fooled me on the first second of it, but then the four, five, no.
I've got Cloudy Bay, okay? Yeah. And I've also got Gamble, which is from Napa. Both ultra high scores. Cloudy Bay got a 93. Gamble got a 92 from Spectator.
I
and
don't
a bunch
love...
Of
Cloudy California Bay, New Zealand?
I know you don't. What's that?
Cloudy Bay, New Zealand.
New Zealand.
I think it's Marlboro region.
It is.
So we'll rock a high scoring Sauvignon Blanc challenge. Mm-hmm. It's fun to do that. I love doing that. and it's not necessarily the competition, but you're having two wines, same varietal. Let's compare them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Whether they're same from same or differing regions or not, doesn't matter.
It is really helpful, I think, to understand how they're different and to also expand your palate quick.
Mm-hmm. Well, and okay, so Rob can remember, oh, I had that Sauvignon Blanc and it did this, 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 this.
Yeah.
We're not likely to remember it the way he does. No. But yeah. Put them side by side, it's just an interesting little
exercise. Yep.
Exercise in our palates.
I agree.
So, folks, we're going to take a break and be right back here on the Wine Vault. And we're back, folks. So the 2019 Gen Red from Hitching Post, Hartley and Ostini Vintners. And remember, folks, Hitching Post restaurant in California. And it was part of the idea of the movie Sideways.
Yep.
And we made a bigger deal about this back with the Pinot Noir because it was a little more newer to us. But wine.com has a lot of their wines. Most of it is their Syrah and their Pinots. This is not available. It's out of stocks. Got this separately. But their Pinots definitely buy. And I'm going to buy the Syrah too because I'm going to try that. But their wines, just to say, this is like they're just their knock around, have fun attempt. Their wines are wonderful.
It's fun.
Their winemaking appeals to us. And quite frankly, they've taken four different grapes. I mean, the Cab and the Merlot, okay, that's peanut butter and jelly. But the rest of it? Man, that's just like trying to mix oil and water. But they did. They mixed it. And they made something together that works. It is a wine that works. And you would think with these four varietals, how the fuck could you ever do that? If Fry Brothers had this concoction.
Hey! Oh my
God. What would happen? Probably the western half of California would explode. And fall off.
I'll be honest. When I saw the blend on this, it's why I grabbed it. Because it's Hitching Post. I wanted to see if they could pull it off.
Yeah. Well, it's a challenge.
Did you just buy one?
I wish I'd gotten more.
That's a yes.
That is a
yes.
Well, you'll be back down there, won't you?
Well, we're going to be there.
I don't know.
I'm not going to be there. You will.
Me and Mag will go by.
Yeah, that's true.
It's worth, like...
What's it called? Tell me again.
Village Wines.
It's not far from IKEA.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. So think 75 and what is that? 275?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
275 is the other about.
Yeah. So.
So, folks, we're going to go around the room. We're going to get some scores, and we're going to start off with the triple B.
Village Wines of Glendale.
Oh, this one.
Thank you.
I just was going to put it in my phone so it'll remember it.
It's like a mile off the highway.
Alterations while you wait, right next door. Would you stop? Do you hear him?
Yep.
Tell the listeners what you're doing.
I watched a YouTube video of a master sommelier, and he did that, so that's why I'm doing it. It works.
How much did you pay for James Suckling's?
It was not James.
Masterclass?
It was a German.
So it was a German. Did he make you pay in rubles?
No.
Is he an oligarch?
I don't know. Yeah, see, he's German though. And he's like,
is he German oligarch?
I live in Italy.
You're stressing me out with that because it's like
it works.
Scope mouthwash.
Well, he knows. He's smarter than I am. Apparently.
Well, maybe
he has a YouTube channel. I just have a podcast.
You know? Yeah, we could.
He probably has a podcast too.
We could have a YouTube channel. We just haven't set up the video yet.
He probably has an OnlyFans.
I feel like you're gonna be like Like the wine is going up inside your gums, straight into your bloodstream.
That's how I'm doing it from now on. So get used to it.
Are you really?
Oh yeah, it's fantastic. It really does work. It's wonderful.
So our goal is going to be to make him laugh, so he spits it out of his nostrils.
It won't happen. I'm too professional. I watched a YouTube video of a master sommelier.
So I'm going to go back to that question that was earlier in the show. Are you going to go first when it comes to beating him, or am I?
I also, you know, like when you look back at yourself to like when you're dating your spouse.
Okay.
And if I knew then that we would someday be in our basement with a podcast and Rob swishing wine around his mouth like Scope.
You'd be so turned on.
You'd have rethought the whole process?
It would have been an interesting thing. Like, how often are you going to be doing this?
Well, it's your fault. And by the way, this was your idea.
You did start it.
I did start the podcast. It was your idea. But I didn't start you using it like Scope mouthwash.
What did you think? I'd be tonight we will drink red wine.
I never thought you'd be like that, but I never thought you'd be swishing around your mouth like that. It's very weird.
So you never thought Wilford would exist? You never thought? I mean,
this artistry with male body parts.
Oh, my God.
As a southern man, I swish the wine, too, but it's a little different. Go ahead. You talked about Golden Corral earlier. That's very nice.
I know. This episode has been a little bit of a...
And the chocolate, all over the place.
And the chocolate fountain. You know, we have an outhouse at our house, and it exploded one time, and we had one of those then. So it's very lovely, but I did not stick my finger in it.
It's disgusting.
That's right.
So I'm working on my score in my mind.
I'm laughing about Gungungus. Whatever you said her. Go ahead.
What are you gonna do?
I don't know. What's your score? What is your numerical score?
Something that we didn't talk about a lot is the structure of this wine.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't have. We did talk about how it doesn't have much of a front palate. The mid palate is also like is what it is. There's nothing crazy. The finish is where it is amazing, right?
For me, it's mouthfeel and finish, yeah.
Yeah, but...
it's a mouthfeel wine, yeah.
So I think that's where I'm like, the mouthfeel would tell me it's one kind of wine, but not having a front or mid palate.
I like the mid palate. You didn't like the mid palate?
I just don't feel like there's much there.
Oh, I love the chocolate in the mid palate.
Well, it is a chocolate. It's a mixed mash of things. You don't normally get pruny plumminess with chocolate. It's different. It's not a wine I would drink Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. I wouldn't do that. But I would drink it March 1st, July 3rd, you know, once in a while.
Quarterly?
Yes, quarterly. You take the romanticism out of it then. It is time for Gen Red. Must drink tonight. It is the quota. Go ahead.
I am going to be a little bit Russian about
it. You don't know
it.
That.
I am.
Really?
I think I'm going to be, because if it had more of a front palate, then it would be, this score would be like a 92. It doesn't have a front palate. It doesn't really have a mid palate. So I'm giving it, what?
Nothing. I
just feel like you're glaring at me.
I was, when you said 92, it about made me, okay, go ahead.
Well, I mean, that's where I would have scored it if it had a front palate.
Okay, go ahead.
But it doesn't have those things. No. The silky mouthfeel gives it a point or two bonus, because that is like an elusive thing.
Okay.
So I think that I'm going to go with an 88.
It's a good score. Fair score.
Okay. Give it an 88. I would absolutely drink this again.
Yep.
I am 1,000% imagining drinking this with a snack plate on the deck and being very, very, very happy about it.
Scott.
I'm going to overscore it.
Yeah, of course you're going to overscore it.
No, I'm not.
Because you're emotionally invested in it.
No, I'm 89. I want to go 90. I do, but I just feel like that would be overscoring. It's fantastic, mm-hmm. though.
Yeah.
It's 89.
It's a great, great, great.
The people at Hitching Post, Hartley and Ostini, if you gave it a 90, they'd be like, no, that's not what we made this for.
It's a
Yeah, I get it.
Would
but
buy
it,
again.
It's for fun. It's a fun yeah. one.
It's just here's why I stopped short of overscoring it and giving it that 90. It's just not the most complex thing, but that mouthfeel for this price point wine yeah. is fantastic.
Oh no,
to put together this blend and it not be an oddball.
Yeah,
and plus you know what? Fuck it. I'm going 90. You know why? The nose was amazing. It does have that mouthfeel. And I, other than the front palate, I think it is.
You bold and noble land. Go ahead.
What, I'm the Canadian judge?
You're the Canadian judge.
I mean, well,
that's a little high.
I said I was going to overscore it.
You did. You congratulations.
It's fine. But
you did it in 89, but.
The length of the finish, the little subtle things that there are, the white pepper, that chocolate.
You want to go 91, don't you?
Short of complex, but I'm still sticking with that 90. The mouthfeel ticks it up a tick. And I do like the tannic structure in this wine.
Well, good for you. Bravo. Now I provide the correct score. I think it's a fun wine. I think it's lovely. It's an interesting thing. It's definitely off the beaten path and something you should try. The Vaudigi really, I think flavor dominates. It is the flavor dominant wine. It'd be interesting to try in other years where you have perhaps a little more potency with Syrah or Petit Syrah sneaking in there. Not Petit Syrah, but Tempranillo or Syrah, to see how that mixes it up and see if it pulls back a little bit of that pruny fruit. I would like to see that. But if I were them, I would almost, because they have good Syrah, I would mix that in there all the time and probably put it in there as opposed to the Sangiovese. But maybe they felt that made it too obtuse and big. Because I don't think they were going for something that was necessarily something that was going to bash, like the high C punch thing that breaks through the wall. No. They weren't trying to do that. And they were trying to have something that was light, fun, and kind of like a quaffer. Just this, it's more than a quaffer, mind you. It's someone that's very, very bougie and really knows what they're doing. It's their version of a quaffer. It's like, that's not a quaffer. Oh, no, that's just a quaffer. No, no, that's fantastic. Do you think so? Really? Oh, okay. They're very, very modest. I'm going to provide an 88 of my points. Triple B was
correct.
That's
why you said it was a fair score.
It was a fair score because I gave the same score. Yes, right. But I like it. I would drink it again. I would buy it occasionally. And the price is right. It's $20.
Yeah.
That's a nice price. I mean,
yeah, it is.
If this was out there and you could find it, it provides such an unusual experience. I mean, you could get a $20 cab or you get this. It's like, well, sometimes you might grab this. You're going to grab this.
I would grab this.
Yeah, it's probably a small production, though.
Yeah, but it. And again, another home run from Hitching Post.
Let me say this. It also, though, follows with their Pinot Noir, the way they approach their wines. They have a consistency through it. The mouthfeel is consistent. The way the wine comes across is consistent with everything else. And that shows winemaking ability because you have a style and they follow that style. And their style isn't, we just put American oak and someone took a shit in it. That's J. Lohr. They have that style. That's their thing. Hitching Post does something different. Nobody defecates in any of the barrels and they don't use charred American oak, which I think is a better thing. You know, they don't put their dick in the chocolate fountain either. That's just that one time that I got banned from the restaurant. Don't be telling people. I told people, but that's okay. Once again, Scott, do you like chocolate? No? Okay.
Not so much. So. Dark chocolate.
Well, it's
a little fact-checking by the intern. Gigondas is not a varietal, as Rob pointed out. No, it's a Grand Cru appellation in southern Rhone.
Yes.
And
Syrah, Grenache?
Another fact-checking. Yeah, it's Grenache, not Syrah.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Grenache.
But,
well.
Grenache, is there any Syrah in it?
Yeah, in this particular bin. Okay. Not much, though. 10 and Mouvedre 5.
Okay, there you go. Nevertheless.
I think that restaurant we were trying to think of earlier was called La Monaco's.
It was La Monaco's.
That is it.
Very good
job. And that
job,
was beside
Becky.
Rooster's. Yeah. It hasn't been that long ago.
That was an off-the-air discussion.
It was 7 years ago.
Okay. That would be, well, yeah, Henry B. Little, so.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, folks.
I'm so...
I'm impressed that you found that. That's
on Pickerington Peeps.
That takes a weight off my mind.
It does.
So, 288s and 89.
Oh, scores of integrity.
Oh, yes.
I thought Rob would give it an 86. He gave it an 88. Scott, 87. He gave it an 89. I was off by 4.
I changed mine to 90.
Oh, my God.
So you're off by five.
I don't recognize the 90.
Well, it's just probably, that's too bad. Scott.
I said Becky would give it an 86. She gave it an 88. So I'm off by two. I said Rob would give it an 88.
Oh.
Off by two.
Very well done.
And I said Becky would give it an 87. I'm off by one. And I said Scott would give it an 89. Off by one. So it's a negative.
Tied.
But, however,
you
Scott
guys
originally.
Are tied, so I win.
But my tiebreaker is Scott originally did give an 89. So no. I do. I won.
False.
I won.
Nope.
That's the way that works.
Not quite right.
That's just facts. And besides the fact, I gave it an 89. So there we go. That's how it works for you. So you lost.
False.
Fucker.
Nope.
So.
Tied for the win.
For Rob the Wine Guy, Scott the Unlicensed Taxi Driver, and the Triple B, we will bid you adieu. However, we shall see you next time here on the Wine Vault. Good night, folks.